let's go now, real quick, to Tink, because we all knew this was coming.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Tink, it is dawn.
Mm-hmm.
You are not being physically or temporally constrained in any way. What are you doing currently?
I think currently, well, it's dawn, and the henge was complete for dawn because, you know, that's the whole point of a henge, you know, is to make sure uh-huh. certain astronomical things. I think at this point, I'm building an oven, right? Like a clay oven or earth oven.
Okay, you're building a kiln.
Sort of, but Tink has noticed that it's traditional to bring small baked goods. And feels that they have to participate in this, otherwise they will, you know, have incurred a debt, and that is unacceptable.
Okay. Okay, okay. Alright, where are you building an oven?
On a hill? Or a rise?
Just on a hill.
Private property is not a thing Tink really accepts.
Can you see either the theater or your newest hinge from there?
I mean, well, yeah, it's going to be, probably in the henge. Right now, I'm actually picturing it, in the middle of wherever the henge is.
Okay, so in order to build the oven, you had to build the henge first?
Well, it was just appropriate. I mean, you have to be respectful about this sort of thing if you're going to bake.
Okay. What sort of expertise does Tink have in building an oven?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to question your hinge building abilities.
Yep.
That is not of a concern to me.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing is the fact that Tink can move through Earth. So it's really just the hollow thing that he's going to put some fire around.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Just trying to figure out how the heck he would do that. And I'm just like, I just make a hole in the Earth, and then I put some fire on top of it, and I have an oven. I suppose it could hurt, but I'm sure fire is not that damage.
To every other person in your environment, what it looks like. So, what did you build the hinge out of?
Somehow he found a good chunk of, granite, and then the rest of the stuff are various scavenged pieces of metal, vehicles.
Okay, so it's a big chunk of granite, and then there's, an upside-down motorcycle on top of it.
Yep.
Right? And then there's, a couple of lampposts that have been bent into shape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you're just gonna... To everyone else around you, it just looks like you're going to start a fire in the middle of this.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a mound of earth, and then they're just building a fire on top of it.
Okay. So you have built the hinge... The sun is coming up now. You've built the hinge. You have cleared out your oven underground, which is going to be a deeply sanitary place to bake things.
Absolutely.
And you have emerged through the middle of the hinge. And as you emerge, looking directly into your eyes, standing roughly the same height as you, is if... Murtaugh was a mutant corgi.
Murtaugh. I'm not placing that.
Riggs and Murtaugh from...
Riggs and Murtaugh. Murtaugh being Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, okay. Alright.
This is a corgi that is too old for this shit.
Okay. Yep, alright.
Wearing cop clothes. Not a uniform, but cop clothes.
Alright. Yeah.
He's got an egg sandwich in one hand. He's got a travel cup, a disposable travel cup of coffee in the other hand. And he's just looking at you through part of your hinge from about 20 feet away. And you can see he's chewing a bite of the sandwich, and he just without breaking eye contact, just takes a drink of his coffee.
Right. So I think Tink goes back to his mixing bowl. There's a dude here. All right, whatever. Yeah. And They have a very old cookbook just sitting there that they're carefully following.
Okay. All right. He's going, like, it's like a Joy of Cooking from actual, like, 1975 or something like
literally
that.
Literally right. What I had in mind.
Okay, okay. So you turn away from him, and he's going, you can hear him cop walking up behind you, right? That walk that's like, I know you see me. You're going to have to deal with me. And I don't know how Tink's going to interpret that. He's not being threatening. Again, he's got two food items in his hands. But he sort of walks himself to the edge of your hinge. And he cough barks, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey. All right. I guess Tink will look at him at that point.
And turn around, and he's in the middle of taking another drink of his coffee. And he fixes his eyes on your eyes. He's like, "So you got a permit for this construction?"
I am permitted to do this. Yes.
I don't think we're having the same conversation. Do you know what the laws? Okay, I'm gonna ask it a different way. You're building things inside city limits that are made of other things, and you can see, like, he, like, takes his sandwich hand and sort of, like, pushes on one of the lamps, right? And you built it, so I don't think it's gonna fall over.
No, I think it's sturdy, yeah.
Okay. And you can see he's, like, kind of impressed by that a little bit. He's like, we can't just... We have, like, codes and regulations. You can't just build stuff with motorcycles, bro.
Tink's very confused by that statement, but doesn't think it merits a response.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this person?
I think he's talked to me several times, but most importantly, he has never given me or asked for my name.
Okay. I mean, that's very important, yes. Yep. That's very important. What you making?
Scones.
You can tell he was not expecting that response. what kind of scones?
These are supposed to have chocolate in them, but that sounds horrible. I think pine nuts would work.
I agree. Yeah, you know what? Chocolate's bad news, man. Chocolate's bad news. I lost a good friend to chocolate. You gotta keep an eye on that. How are you making scones?
Oh, he has a bowl. And then none of the ingredients are in any kind of, like, artificial containers. Like, he somehow has, like, a leather sack of flour. Like, where did you get that? Don't fucking know.
Oh, God. It's a real good thing the FDA isn't around anymore, because, yeah.
And, like he definitely has, like, a couple small hollow gourds that are, like, full of, like, salt and some sugar and that kind of thing. You know, mostly all natural containers that none of that explains at all where it could possibly have come from.
So he'll look around at your collected ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of, you can see him scanning the hinge, the interior of the hinge. Your hammer's here somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's probably just sitting on the ground somewhere. Like, with the handle up in the air, though, because, you know, that's just a problem.
Yeah. And he'll take another bite of his sandwich and sort of gesture at it. And through a half-full mouth, he's like, you got a license for that thing?
Like, again, just complete confusion on Tink's. You don't drive it. You drive things with it. Yeah.
All right, man. It takes a good long swig of coffee. Give me a perception check, Mr. I have face senses and juicer senses at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
An awareness, or whatever it was called. Whatever perception is. Yeah. Notice.
Notice roll. Give me a second. Apparently, when I went searching for scone recipes, I may have forgot and closed roll 20. You know, I had to focus on the important things.
Priorities. It's all about priorities.
Skill. Notice. Yeah, that one. Oh, I don't get with my wounds.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, no, get rid of your wounds. Wounds. Everybody lose your wounds. Yeah. No one has suffered any wounds.
We are done
with that now.
Okay.
Alright, so with a 4.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sure don't want to take the reroll?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the 4, because that
re-roll
is
funnier.
That is 2 ones, my guy. Whatever the inverse of exploding dice is, you just suffered that.
Imploding dice.
You notice, and I don't know how familiar Tink is with, like, regular people food stuffs, but you are a fae, so you recognize the smell of booze when you catch it.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly the smell of booze coming off this guy. Specifically his breath. Now that he's getting close enough to you, like, a normal person who's not Tink would probably assume that that coffee's been altered in some way.
We've spiked is the term.
I don't even know if Tink understands the concept. It's like, what do you mean? So he's drinking alcohol. Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm saying.
That's what you drink.
He says, alright, listen, man. I've let it slide this long because taking you in is going to be a huge pain in the ass. I understand that. I need this. And he sort of, like, gestures broadly with the sandwich hand. I need this to be more low-key. Can you do that for me?
He's the guy. He's across the sea from where I'm from. I don't think I ever met that guy.
I saw it coming. God damn it. It's just like a train.
God damn it. Okay. I don't know that he has any sort of background that would let him get that joke. And so I think he just like cop shoulders through it. And he... Alright, dude. I need you to take this. I need you to build these further out of town. Can you do that?
You'd ask that of me?
And you can't bring that thing. And he points at the hammer again with the sandwich hand, right? Like, you can't bring that thing into town anymore. We got rules here, man.
What rules?
The rules I'm paid to enforce. Look, I don't know you. I feel like we should not get to know each other any better, though, if you know what I mean.
Okay. But you just asked me for a favor.
Oh, my.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah, sure, buddy. We'll call it a favor, if that makes you feel better.
Okay.
Anyway, I expect this to be cleaned up when I come back. And he sort of just, like, turns on his heel and walks away.
Yep.
It's at that point that you notice that you are missing a key scone ingredient, of which I have no idea what they are. You already covered the flour.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything else that goes into a scone.
Do you know how to make biscuits, by chance? Because it's very remarkably similar.
Very similar, yeah. I mean, it's probably the milk.
Oh, God.
Which I don't even want to ask. But,
imagine sourcing milk in this place. It's going to be horrifying.
Well, you can make it with buttermilk, and that's easier because the milk's already spoiled.
There you go.
Already spoiled.
Yeah, you are out of something. You got to go get it. You're not going to be able to finish making your scones right now.
I feel like it's almost most likely that Tink goes off and just finds a small mammal. Anyway.
Alright, we'll cut from there. We're going to cut from there. Let's go back up to Gug and Goro on the rooftop. Right? You are now about halfway through your morning Richard Simmons exercise / diagnostic routine, right? Gug has worked up whatever the Vernulian equivalent of a sweat is. I imagine Perdicion still looks like he's doing the robot, kind of, right?
He's probably a little smoother at this point.
Okay.
Like, the grinding's kind of worked out a little more.
Okay. Okay.
You know, there's no signs of exertion, really, on him. It's just, like, because of the way his face looks, it looks like he's just grimly determined to finish this exercise.
That is also the vibe that everyone else has, honestly, at this point. Except maybe Gug and the Rodrigo father is like sweating through his shirts, but he's still trying. He's still going, right? Charles Rodrigo is his full name. And your crew has sort of dropped off one by one until now. Some of them are sort of standing over at the corner of the roof, sitting on the edge of the roof, smoking. One of them's like doing some drone video drone maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just as the Mr. Simmons gets to the height of the apex of the exertion in the exercise video, there is a pop from the television you're watching it on, and smoke comes out the top of it.
No.
And the tape is ejected from the VCR, and the whole thing catches on fire.
Perdicion immediately goes through the tape and checks it to make sure it's okay.
You turn over the tape in your hands. The tape looks fine. It looks like it's a little bit scratched up from like where it hit the rooftop, because I imagine the rooftop is like that that like black textured tar paper, right? So it probably hit and like scratched up a little bit. Otherwise, it seems to be fine. But the like AV cart you were watching it on is in full meltdown mode.
Why do they keep doing this? I do not understand.
Your tech crew member runs over and starts gives it a perfunctory sort of like waves it off and sort of looks at it and is like, sorry boss, smoke comes out, it's over. I don't know what to tell you, man. I think you're gonna need a new one.
Yes, I am going to have a hard time explaining to them that this is the third one we need in as many days.
I accidentally hit the button twice, but can Gug repair the thing?
I mean, I am willing to let Gug take a shot.
Okay. I am unskilled with repair, but I appear to have rolled 15.
No, you rolled a 9. They don't add together.
Okay.
They don't add together. You take the highest one. Jesus Christ, Gug, what are you doing?
I mean, the second time, because I clicked the button twice, was a 0.
That's all right. I'm going to give you the 9. Here's what I'm going to tell you, Gug. You can, like, telekinetically put out the fire. Like, you push all of the air out of the electronics, right? Which blows a bunch of smoke, like, in Charles Rodrigo's face. He's very nonplussed by this. Oh my god, what are we doing? And then you can sort of like manipulate the pieces inside. And it looks like you can probably get this thing close enough to back together that you just have to replace, like, an internal part or three rather than the whole VCR. But I don't think you're going to get it back together without tools. Or without the pieces you're going to need, right?
Gotcha.
So Gug saved the construction itself, but there's still, like one of the rotors inside doesn't work right anymore, and, like the little arm that passes the tape. Like, there's pieces that were too burnt up to be repaired properly, right?
Yeah, but we can get this. We can take care of this. Don't worry. We'll repair it. We can rebuild it. Bigger, faster, stronger.
Yes, bigger, faster, stronger. Absolutely. Absolutely bigger, faster, stronger. Yeah. So that is morning yoga. And the people begin to disperse. As you come down into the theater itself, that same quartermaster Freddy, right, with the white tank top and the leather pants is like, I don't know, man. We've been going through these pretty fast these days. And he sort of like throws Perdicio in a look.
He kind of tries to shrug.
This isn't the kind of thing we keep on hand, man. I'm more of a, like, energy weapons and grenades guy. So, I think what you're gonna need to do is you're gonna need to go to the mall. We got a run going out today. I think somebody there probably has the best shot at getting you this. And he sort of like waves his hands at the still lightly smoking VCR. You get the pieces, we can put them back together for you, but like, yeah.
I suppose we can try for it. That's the worst that can happen.
What's the worst that happens is we encounter a Vernalian extraction squad that takes us back to Vernalia, and you learn a new meaning of pain and suffering as they dissect us.
Wait, what?
Hmm?
What was that?
What was what?
Never mind.
Yeah. We are going to cut to the bus to the mall.
Ooh, is Tink on it?
The Freddies are making a supply run. What?
Is Tink on it? He wanted to be.
That depends. I'm going to give you two options.
Okay.
Either Tink is on the bus to the mall, or Tink is already there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Tink's already there. I mean, my intent was to go to the mall, actually, but...
That's kind of what I figured. That's kind of where I was trying to get people to be.
I know, right? But I think it's not for the reason you expect. But anyway.
Okay, sweet. I'm into it. Everybody but Tink is on this bus, right? And it's just a bus. It's like an old pre-rifts bus that has been, like, bedazzled in a very clean style. It's got that, the double-headed eagle insignia that they used to run around with is, like, painted in several places. It's been done in a gloss black with, like, gold highlights. But it's just like an internal combustion engine bus. And a Freddy in the most stylish bus driver outfit you've ever seen is driving it. We're talking like sequined vests, bus driver hat, the whole gig. And it is the three of you, right? Goro, Perdicion, Gug. There are a couple of other Freddies on the bus that are looking to get things. Esther Rodrigo, the teenager, is sitting in the seat with Goro on the bus. Goro has now been made temporary supervisor. You are going to show Esther Rodrigo, Clementine Rodrigo, how to properly source and judge art supplies that you find at the mall. This is a group project you're in.
Goro will be taking this responsibility very seriously.
She is that, like, version of excited that teenagers have where they're definitely very pumped to be doing a thing but don't want to show you that. That's her vibe right now, right? And to sort of, like, reintroduce her, she is a probably, I said she was, like, 15 or 16. Dark hair, in kind of, like, a high and tight, almost. Like, a long high and tight. They're starting to grow out a little bit now. But she's only been back here for a few days, like a week at most. You can still see on this, because the sides of her head were shaved. And she's letting them grow out now. But they're not growing enough that you can't still see, like, the barcodes from the Coalition psychic identification on the sides of her head. She's dressed kind of as an early era Joan Jett, with the leather jacket and the ripped jeans and various bangles with, like, spikes on them, right? I'm talking like bracelets and anklets and things. Very, yeah, like punk rock esque, if not actually punk rock, right? But she really wants to talk about art with Goro, and it turns out she's had a fairly strong education in the classics. And by the classics, I mean stuff that happened before the Riths, right? Because she, it turns out where she's from, Kingsdale, has a pretty good education system if your family is in with the in crowd, essentially, right? If they're part of the power structure. And she was in that education. So she is like, yeah, and who's your favorite impressionist? Because I really like, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, but she goes on at length, right? Trying to get Goro to engage.
I think he certainly will. I mean,
okay. Does Goro know about that stuff?
I think he will know. So Goro, I'm trying to remember if he's supposed to be from this planet. Like, was he even born here?
Yeah, I don't know if... I don't know if he is or not. His species is not, right? He's a... Right. But there's been... It's possible that Goro was born on Earth to other members of his species. His name I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
They are the Von Moor.
I want to call them a thing that I know they're not called anymore for reasons that the term is actually racist, and so I don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah, the Von War. Whatever, how you pronounce that, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Von War. Von War.
Okay, so yeah, so Goro will... I think Goro was born on Earth. So yes, he is familiar with the artists, but he will also introduce her to... Or, like, compare them to some of the artists from... that his mother used to talk about from his home planet or home dimension.
Okay, yeah, okay. Cool. So was Goro's mom an artist? Is that where Goro got it from?
Probably, yeah. We'll see, yes.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, so you have a lot to talk about with this this human teenager, right? Nerding out about art stuff. And she... sort of transitions, and she's talking about the supplies you had, the stuff she really liked about it, the stuff she wasn't quite sure she was doing right with it. And so I think you'll spend the trip there fielding questions from a teenager that's picking your brain.
Okay. No problem. Right?
Everybody else, Gug. Are you socializing with the Freddies that are there? Are you, like, listening in on this conversation? Are you getting some culture? What are you doing on the bus?
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at anakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.